Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
He alone bore my cross. He alone took the crown of thorns. He alone was placed in a borrowed tomb. He alone got up on the third day. He alone ascended into heaven. He alone took his own blood and applied it to the mercy seat. He alone came back 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. He alone saved me. He alone washed me. He alone cleansed me. He alone keeps me. He alone feeds me. Now he alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is worthy to be lifted up. He alone is worthy of your hand clap. Would you give him a hand clap of praise? Because he did it all by himself. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is so worthy. If you're here today and you're a visitor, we want to welcome you here. Good to have you. We're a little bit crazy for Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came to the other side of the sea and to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, say immediately, there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because they had often been bound, he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, ran into the city and into the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that possessed with the devil, and being had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. You can be seated. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about your destiny and about your purpose. It's interesting, if we back up a chapter, we find out that Jesus made a statement, and he said, "Let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side." The disciples get in the ship, and as they're going across the sea, they hit a storm. They fear for their life. Jesus calms the storm. And I want to give you a parallel here. Whenever you are trying to expand territory, you're going to hit a storm. Whenever you make up your mind that you're not satisfied with where you are in your Christian walk or what you have possessed right now, and you begin to expand that, you're going to have storms come your way. Jesus made a statement, "Let's go to the other side." I love the way one preacher said it. Once he figured out that the Gadarenes were mostly Greek, it was Greco-Roman culture. Once he realized that most of them over there were Gentiles, he said he's not really sure when he said, "Let us go to the other side," if he was talking about geography or he was talking about culture. Because he's going to the other side. And when you go to expand and you go to move out and you become not satisfied because I don't know if you're in Sunday school this morning, but this has really been burning in my heart. I believe we as the people of God are living below our means, and there's some territory that we need to expand into that even though we haven't tasted it yet does not mean that it isn't ours and it doesn't belong to us. We used to sing a song, we're going up to the high places and we're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. And in that song, there was a part that said, what he said was his has been ours all along. Let's go tear his kingdom down. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get this itchy feeling in my feet that says I'm thankful for what God has done so far, but I'm not satisfied. I really appreciate where he's brought me from, but I also know that he's taken me somewhere that's far greater than where he brought me from. I'm excited about what God's getting ready to do. I think the enemy recognizes that with God on our side, there are some things that belong to us that we haven't experienced yet, and he has more faith in us than we have in ourselves. Some people in this room have went through things that are unimaginable, things that I don't even want to think about. And I believe it's because the enemy realize that in the family they were born in or the things they would come in contact with, that their future held something really great. So he started doing things in their life when he had control to somehow hinder them from when they got to that place. I believe there's storms that the enemy, I don't know who controls it all. I know the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and we can argue if whether the devil can bring storms and literal storms. I do know this. Spiritually, he can bring some storms into your life. I do know that. And he tries to bring those things in so that it might hinder us. It's not about where we are. It's about where we're headed to. It's why the enemy tries to discourage you and bring condemnation so that you don't press forward because you're so caught up with where you are right now. Can I get an amen? Because the truth is, when we take assessment of our life, it's very easy. If I would do this today, I already know the results. I would say, how many people in here are really on fire for God and feel like you're right where you need to be? Very few people in here would raise your hand. And I would say, how many people in here are struggling right now and feel like you got a lot of room of improvement? And most of us would raise our hand because that's the way we have been trained to think. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible don't train you to think that way. The Bible tells you, you've already been made more than a conqueror. You're not trying to become a conqueror. He already made you a conqueror. The Bible tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My strength doesn't come from within myself. I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I was ready to preach that and brought my hanky. I don't know. Man, when I read this story, I get excited every time I read it. Darren, I was so nervous in Sunday school. You started talking about this like, dude, shut up. Jesus says, boys, let's go to the other side. And they get on the ship and they make it through the storm because they got Jesus. I don't care how big the storm is. If you got Jesus, you can make it through. You say, oh, that's so simple. We need reminded of that. We need reminded of that because sometimes little things discourage us. Sometimes little things come our way and it gets us discouraged. I'm here to tell you, as long as Jesus is on the ship, everything's gonna be all right. I don't care how big the waves are, how loud and how strong the wind is, you're gonna be all right. Jesus calms the storm. Now this man, when I read about this man, I see what the enemy wants to do when he has a lot of control with a person. This wasn't just one spirit that was working in this man. The Bible says it was legion. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Basically, there's a bunch of us in here, and we want to be numbered as legion. Let me tell you what a legion is. A legion is a section of an army. It's very unified. It's very organized. So let me set this. Let me tell you what you are fighting. You are not fighting a haphazard enemy. You are fighting an enemy that is very organized, and he is very unified, and his goal is your demise. So don't think it's just haphazard. There is an enemy that hates you. There is an enemy that wants to steal from you. There's an enemy that wants to kill you. There's an enemy that wants to destroy you, and he is very organized. So much. Dustin, when I read about this man, I think about people on a spiritual level. The enemy's goal was to get that man in a state that no one could tame him, and he hated himself. He is cutting himself in the tombs. Day and night, he is screaming. He is yelling. This is the goal of the enemy in your life, for you to cut yourself. Not only physically. I know there's some people that go to the extent to do this physically. Not only physically, but spiritually as well. Without saying it, you say it. You walk around and you cut yourself. The haters ain't even around and you're still cutting yourself. The Bible talks about Jacob, and the Bible says that Jacob was left alone and there wrestled with a man. Now you look that word man up, and never in Scripture is that word used to define deity or an angel. It said Jacob was left alone to fight with the man. And I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been all alone and I've been fighting with the man. What I believe Jacob was fighting with was Jacob was fighting with Israel. I believe there was dual nature there inside of him, and one was getting ready to take over, and he was wrestling with himself. Jacob, the flesh, was wrestling with Israel, the spirit. And you say, oh, no. He was wrestling with God. You really believe he was wrestling with God and he prevailed for a little while? Let me put this in English. That's stupid. If you think Jacob was wrestling with God and was winning the battle and God had to knock his thigh out to win the battle, then you got a misconception of God. I've been alone and I've wrestled with a man. I've been alone and I've wrestled with me. I've been alone and I've had conversations within myself, and I've had arguments and I've had struggles, and I know when the enemy moves in, because when the enemy moves in, I start beating myself up. Anybody with me? The enemy would love nothing more than you to be in the tomb among the dead, destroying yourself. But oh, we're about to have church. At least I am. I don't know. If y'all don't even join me, I think I'll be okay by myself. Jesus gets off the ship. And the Bible says immediately he met him. Now, we know this man was among the tombs. And I don't know if you have ever seen tombs on a beach before, but I personally have not. So he must have been on higher ground. So to immediately meet him. I don't know when it happened, Brandon, but there was a moment when those spirits that was controlling this man looked out and recognized somebody that they knew exactly who he was. Oh, you got to hear me. They recognized who he was. At this point, Sam, the disciples didn't even know exactly who he was. But at this moment, this legion, I'm speculating here. I'm completely speculating, but it had to happen. Dustin, they had to look out, and one of those spirits say, oh, no, it's him. It's him. This man is just a bystander in this story. He's just a shell. He has no control over anything. He's in the tomb. He's cutting himself. He's breaking chains. They can't hold him. He's an innocent bystander. But those spirits looked out. And they knew exactly what they had to do. I just picture it like this. This is how the story goes in my mind. Well, let's go, boys. He's here. And the man's like, He don't even know what he's running to. He don't even know why he's running, but they know why they're running. The reason they're running is because somebody is getting ready to get off the ship that they know they don't have any power at all over. They can't stop him. They can't control him. They can't withstand him. And they get there and they bow down and they worship him. That's why I don't believe in atheism. Every atheist that says there is no God is lying to their self. You know how I know? Romans 1, God has revealed it to them. He's already showed them. He's already revealed himself. Even if you are demon-possessed, the demons inside you believe and they tremble. So even the very thing that controls you, it still believes that he is who he said he was. They take off running. They get to the ship. He gets off. And they begin to have a conversation. That up until this point, only the spirits have had with Jesus so far. An angel announced who he was going to be. Some spirits showed up and they called him the Son of God. And he said, don't you reveal me. And I'm imagining being one of these disciples. And this guy comes running up. This dude is, he's Looney Tunes. He's not well kept. He's been in the tombs. It's been a while since he had a haircut. He's got scars all over him. And I don't know about you, if somebody like this was running at me, do I kick it? And all of a sudden, he bows down and he begins to worship. Can we back up there? Back up there, Jacob, and get me back to what he said. He said, cried with a loud voice, verse 7, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, if I'm the disciple, I'm like, why do they keep calling him the Son of God? They knew him as teacher. They knew him as rabbi. They knew him as the carpenter. They knew him as all that, but they weren't there during the virgin birth. They weren't there during the baptism. They weren't there. So they got called out and they're with Jesus. And they begin, hey, thou Jesus, Son of God. They know him on a different level for some reason. Why do these spirits know him on a different level? I'm here to tell you, because he was more than a man. And they knew exactly who he was. When he showed up, it wasn't just a Jewish carpenter that got off the boat that day. No, a Jewish carpenter doesn't deserve to be worshipped. It was more than just a rabbi that got off that boat that day. Because a rabbi he's not worthy to be worshipped. It was more than that. No, this was God manifest in flesh. It was the very Son of God that stepped off that boat that day. And those spirits knew exactly who he was. They begin to worship because of who he was. The storm came and it couldn't stop him. So you know what they start doing? They start making deals with him. Ha ha ha. This is good preaching. Because the devil's going to try to stop you, and if he can't stop you, he's going to try to make deals with you. They came down there and they said, Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? Watch this. Watch what they begin to say. They say, don't torment us. Because he said, come out. And he said, what's your name? And he besought him that he would not. This is verse 10. I want you to see verse 10. Take me to verse 10 so everybody can see this. Watch what they do. And he besought him much. He besought him much. They asked him a whole lot. They was asking him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Watch what they're doing. They know who he is. They know his power. So they start trying to make a deal with him. They say, listen, if we're going to have to leave this guy, just don't send us out of the country. Just don't send us out of this territory. Let me tell you something about the enemy. The enemy loves nothing more but to torment you. But the enemy wants to torment you because of the territory you occupy. I'm going to try this on the little side. The reason the enemy torments you is because you have been designed to possess some things that he does not want you to possess. You have some territory that belongs to you. And the enemy's job is, he wants to destroy you, not just for you, but for you and your territory. Some of you people in here, the devil's trying to get you to quit, not because of you, not just because of you, but because he sees that he's going to get to your spouse and your family and your children that way. I'm here to tell you, I know who the Son of God is, and he's greater. You've been designed. You ever feel like quitting?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Yes, sir.
Wimp. Is there ever times you just feel like giving up?
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody earlier just in this service. Talking about taking, you know what? Sometimes you just want to take a break. I remember one time I heard a song that said, I need a little time off for bad behavior. The devil and me, we've been asleep for way too long. Oh, y'all, look at y'all. Y'all, look at me. There have been a time when you're just like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to take a time out right here, knock this person out, and then I'll get back on your team. No, none of y'all. None of, what? Anybody? Watch. Hey, look, confession is good for the soul. Raise your hand. I see Leslie over there. First one up. There's been times you get tired. There's times you get weak. There's times you're just like, God, I just want, just for a minute, God, I'm tired. I'm so tired of fighting this. I'm tired of dealing with this, and I'm tired of dealing with that, and I'm tired of dealing with that. And that's exactly how the devil loves to hear you talk. You know what? The truth is, I'm not that good anyway. Where's my wife? See, she didn't even want to hear me today. There's times it's not that good. I'm like, God, you know, I studied real hard. It just didn't come out right, God. And I tell you what I need to do. And I'm not really where I'm not doing exactly what I'm not. And you just keep cutting, and you keep cutting, and you keep cutting, and you keep cutting, and you keep cutting. And the enemy's eating it up. But I'm here to tell you, it's time for the church to stop cutting and start worshiping. Because when you get to the place where you stop cutting yourself down, and you start worshiping him, you realize that the power ain't in you anyway. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. And when you make up your mind, I'm tired of wearing myself out. I put it in the hand of the man who's able to calm it all. Man, Dustin, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. I really do. I like this guy. I like him. Work with him every day, almost every day. Some days I don't show up. But you started coming to church and you repented and gave your life to Jesus. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The enemy wants to distract you and stop you, not just because of you, but because of all the people around you. Now, here's what he's going to say. Well, you know what? Jesus, you can have him, but let me have his territory. Oh, let me say it again. You know what, Jesus? Okay. Hands up. I give up. Here, you can have him, but make sure that I don't get kicked out of the country. Make sure that I'm still involved in the territory. I'm here to tell you that it's Jesus' plan for him to get you and your territory. This patch belongs to me. Man, if you missed men's meeting Thursday night, man, you missed a good one. Because they talked about some mighty men, and those mighty men, they'd fight. They're just ready to fight. One of them just went down into a pit on a snowy day and beat a line up just because. One guy's out there with an ox goad fighting over beans. You ain't getting my beans. This might not mean a hill of beans to you, but it's my hill of beans. They were fighters. You know why? Because it may just be a patch of beans, but it's my patch of beans. It belongs to me. And let me tell you something, devil. You're not getting my territory. I made up my mind. I've got the greater inside of me, and you can't have me. You can't have my children. You can't have my spouse. You can't have my grandma. You can't have my grandpa. You can't even have my cat. If it belongs to you, claim it. Tommy was here, I would have said dog, but he left. Let me tell you how you win the battle. You get to Jesus. See, here's where the devil messes up. Listen real close. This is where the devil messes up. Sometimes, and maybe some of you have contested this, when you were in sin, the devil started making a little too miserable. And then you started looking for an out. Anybody with me? Oh, for a while, sin was fun, right? You was having a good time. But then it got to this point where you guys like, see, all this is well and good until you get a cancer diagnosis. All this is well and good until you get a terminally ill diagnosis. All of it's well and good when there's no storm. But here's the cool thing about being a Christian. Even when you hit the storm, as long as he's on the boat, you're already good. But the devil brought the storm to try to destroy you. And where the devil messed up is the storm pushed you to him. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. Those demons took off running to worship Jesus because they didn't have a choice. What they may not have recognized is as they was running through him, they were taking that man exactly the direction that he needed to go to get deliverance, to get power, to get renewal, to get revival. I don't care what pushed you here, whatever pushed you here, I know he's the answer. He said, this guy would have been a good disciple. This is the guy that if I was Jesus, and I'm glad I'm not Jesus because I would have ran it all messed up. This is the guy that I would have used as a disciple to replace Judas. I would have used this guy. You know why? Because, man, he had a killer testimony. So what happened to you? Well, let me tell you what happened to me. See these scars? Let me tell you where I was at. And then one day I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, all those spirits, they had to leave. They didn't have any. 2,000 pigs. That's a big pig farm. I have never seen 2,000 pigs in one place at one time in my life. Anybody? I would not want to. 2,000 pigs. Up on a hillside. That's a lot going on in this guy. Lord, don't let us leave the territory. Just don't let us leave the territory. Hey, I mean, they're dealing. Hey, can we go hop into pigs? Go ahead. Watch what happened to these pigs when these spirits took up their abode in them. They couldn't handle it. I said, they couldn't deal with it. They all ran down the embankment and died. This man was dealing with something that 2,000 different entities couldn't handle. Oh, let me tell you something. You may be going through it, but I'm here to tell you, God's going to get you through it to the place he's designed you to be. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I really don't, but he knows what you're going through. And we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you've been through. He knows exactly how you feel. And I'm here to tell you, he's going to take you and remove some things out of your life and put joy and peace and comfort and have you clothed in your right mind, and people will be astounded with what Jesus can do with you. People came out to see because of the demons. If there were no demons, Jesus could have did no miracle and the people wouldn't have came out to see. What are you saying? I'm saying you're going through what you're going through, and people are going to see the glory of God, And the enemy meant it for evil, but God's going to use it for good. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. Maybe right now you're on Easy Street and everything's going great. And you're just blessed and can't be depressed and anointed and can't be disappointed. But I want to talk to the people that are busted and disgusted and can't be trusted. I want to talk to those people that are tired of the cuts and tired of the pain and tired of the struggle and tired of all those things. I'm going to tell you how to get out of that. Get to Jesus and start worshiping Him. Amen. If you went in Sunday school again, Darren talked about these people on the radio, and the way you get saved is you say a prayer and you repeat this prayer. When you repeat the prayer, that means you're saved. They say, well, if you said that prayer, I believe you got born again. You know what? I believe there's some people that are born again that never repeated that prayer. I believe there are some people that are born again that just came to an altar and didn't even know what to say. All they did was lay down themselves at an altar and wept and never said a word. And I believe they're born again. I believe some people can get saved right in the middle of a worship service. Without even an altar call, I believe that God can do a work on them right there, and there's something that takes place in them, and the person that didn't raise their hand begins to raise their hand because God brings them back to life. And I don't know about that prayer that you got to repeat, but I do know this. When the Spirit shows up, that which is dead has to be made alive again. I don't want you to repeat a prayer. I want you to get filled with the Spirit of God. You said that prayer, we believe you got born again. If you got the Spirit of God, I believe you got born again. Yeah. I believe that can take place in your kitchen. Amen. But you know what I believe? I believe the church can start taking over territories. Do I got time to tell y'all this? This has ate me up since I was young and skinny and had hair. I read about those revivals that they had over in Wales. I read about them. And I read about the testimonies. And it bothered me. People go over there just to get to the revival and get off the train. And they'd say, where's the revival? They'd say, that way. Are there any turns? Yeah, there's turns. Where do we turn at? You'll feel it. People would start that direction. And they would take off. Listen. This stuff has messed with me for years. They said the men would run to the bars to get away from their wives who were praying. They'd be sitting at the bar to get away from the house because they felt the conviction of God at the house, and they would go to the bar to get away, and they would say they could feel the conviction just as strong in the bar as they could in the house, and they'd run home and they'd repent and give their life to Jesus. And I don't know what that does to you, but that makes me want to get Crab Orchard as a place where people drive by and can feel the Spirit of an almighty God, because I know it's more than intellectual. Stand up, Josh. We was here working one night when we turned this room into a church, a sanctuary. By the way, there is some traction being moved forward. Don't clap, because it could still be a long time. But you know what? I'm complaining. I'm fussing. God, we need more room. God, we need this. God, we need that. And it's like, man, just be thankful for what you got. We was in here working. There was a lady that came to church here, and she didn't know anybody. She had just started coming to church. And Dusty, she came up to me, and she said, I need to tell you something. She said, I had a dream. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all know me. I'm a skeptic by nature. I'm like, yeah, I've had dreams too. I've even made this statement before. The Bible never says a woman's dream means anything. I have said that, because it said your old men will and your young men will see visions. I said, yeah. Listen, women, I still love you. You're still my friend. Found out something. Women's dreams mean stuff sometimes. She came up to me and she said, I had a dream. And she said, I don't know why I feel led to tell you this, but I want to tell you this. I said, all right. She said, I had a dream that there were two brothers in this church. Well, instantly, I know who that is because we were really small back then. I was like, that's Aaron and Josh. I knew that's who that was. I said, well, she didn't even know they were brothers. She said, and they were on their way to a bonfire. I said, that is exactly who that is. Because these boys have had more bonfires. I think they're the reason that they put up those Smokey the Bear thing, fire danger low. They needed one up there in Affinity Road or wherever you live. She said, and they were on their way to go to a bonfire. I said, all right, I know who this is for sure. And she said, you looked at them and said, don't go. You told them that there was some mischief there and they didn't need to be there. And she said, you looked at the one and you said, don't go north and don't go east. They said, okay, we're going to come in and we're going to pray. And they came in and started praying at the altar. And she said, people started pulling in off the road and coming into the church and getting saved. She told me that story. That night we was down here working. I start telling the story. See this nice olive colored skin this boy has? It looked about the color of the snow around the rabbit. Do you remember this? I bet you do. I looked at him and I said, what's wrong with you? He said, do you have any idea what I was about to do? I said, I have no idea what you was about to do. I don't even know why I'm telling you. He said, I was about to make a decision. He said, I was going to study abroad and I was either going to go to Canada or I was going to go to China. I had two choices. He said, I'm not going north and I'm not going east. I'm staying right here. Now, you can write all that up to coincidence if you want to. And you can say, well, she got lucky. There was two brothers who loved bonfires that liked to pray and that one of them was getting ready to go to Canada and just so happens those are the directions. You can write that up to coincidence if you want to. But I'm here to tell you God had a plan. And the devil was getting ready to send something to move you out of that plan. And if you don't think this guy is part of the plan of this church, well, then you don't pay attention very much when you come here because God has a plan. Thank you. Because the enemy wants to move you out, but he wants to bring you in. Come on, Aaron. Joshua, come on. I'm going to close with this. Dustin, this man gets done. He comes up to the boat. All the people come out of the city. They're pretty aggravated that all their pigs are dead. I would be too. It probably stunk. That was their livelihood. I mean, pigs stink when they're alive. I can just imagine when they're dead. And this is their livelihood. This is how they made their money. And they're like, dude, get out of town. Just get out of here. This man, it's the first time I hear him talk. All the other time, it's the Spirit talking through him. Did you hear me? All the other time, it's the Spirit speaking through him. This is the first time that I hear this man say anything. And you know what he says? Can I go with you? What a question. The first thing I hear him say is, can I be with you? Can I be with you? You know what Jesus says? No, you stay here. Listen to this. You stay here in this territory. You stay here and you go tell them what happened to you. The devil wanted that territory. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to leave a witness. I'm going to leave a witness in this territory. You know what? We're getting ready to have Thanksgiving dinner with our family. Somebody be a witness. When you eat with those lost people in your family, be a witness. Be a witness of the love of God. Be a witness. Be a witness. I always pray real fast because when we do family dinners, my dad would pray too long. My mom would say, Lord, we just ask you to pray not open up a revival. So I'm like, Lord, thanks Jesus for his food. Bless the Lord. For nourishing our bodies, Lord. Keep us safe, Jesus. Amen. Real fast. Maybe we need to take our time and give God some glory this Thanksgiving. And not be in such a hurry to get it over with and take a minute. Because you know where you were at? You were in a place of bondage. And Jesus stepped foot in your territory. And when he showed up, everything changed. See, I'm time conscious all the time. It's 10 till 1. I'm like, I got to have everybody here by 1 o'clock because that's what we do. We're going to worship right now. If he brought you out of that place, I want you to come to the altar. If he's dealing with your heart right now, I want you to come to the altar. If you need prayer, help me. Darren, help me. Sam, let's pray. If you need prayer, come to the altar. Come to the altar. We want to pray with you.